Today's topic is my B attitude, and that is, how ideally is our attitude? What is our Christed attitude, and what does that look like? But before we get into that, let's call forth the God presence from within ourselves and focus on it by reading our invocation. I call forth God's presence from the center of my mind. I release all negativity from the past week and open myself to God thoughts, inspired action, and peace of mind and heart. I allow God to work through me and flow through me to others. I give thanks that at any time I can bring my focus back to God's presence within me always. As I let it be so, so it is. And as is our custom, we will have a treatment for health. And the reason that we do this is because we are a psychophysical unit. We have a mind, we have a body, and we have a soul. And what we do in one of these aspects affects all the others. Oftentimes, our physical health is only thought of in a negative manner. We realize that we don't have it, and that doesn't make us feel very good. We're not very happy about that. So in this case, we focus on, when we do these treatments, the ultimate reality, which is perfect health. And why do we have that? Because we have within us the God presence that is the essence of perfect health. And so now as we treat and close our eyes for a few moments, we focus on that and we bring it into manifestation. That is, we allow it to become visible in our lives. Because it can, and when we ask and believe, it will be. And so we turn within for a few moments, recognizing that the pure presence of God is within each of us. God is the essence of perfect health on all levels of our being. We are given by God the capacity to think. We have thoughts. We have a subconscious mind where all of our memories and beliefs are stored, and where all of our conscious and subconscious patterns exist. And we have a conscious mind, which we can direct, and which can direct us. We also have a soul and a soul purpose. We have a God purpose for being. And for this we give thanks. Now in this moment, we unite all these aspects of our being and our individual existence with the God mind that is within us. God is the great physician on and for all levels of our being. Everything that we may see as wrong or imperfect, as sick, ill, diseased, can be healed by God presence. We realize that we don't need to look outside of ourselves for this healing because it exists already within us. And as we call forth this presence, this natural healing agency, we focus on it, and we see that it is working. The presence of God is working in and through us. And we are, each of us, an outpicturing of perfect health. We are sound in mind, body, and soul because we are connected to the God presence that is the essence and the truth of our being. As a result of this connection, we experience peace of mind. We experience a calm state within ourselves, no matter what appears to be going on in chaos around us. We know that in the depths of our mind, at the center and nucleus where the God presence is, peace exists. And peace is all there is, because God is all there is. As we focus on this peace, we allow ourselves to experience it. And we know that at any time, we can come back to it, no matter what is going on around us. And we experience peace and harmony on a physical level as well. Every cell, tissue, organ, and system of our body functions properly as we allow the light of God to flow through us. Nothing is too big or too small for the presence of God, and nothing is separate from this presence. If health is going to be restored, it will be restored on all levels. And so we are not afraid to ask for what we need. Our Father, the God presence within us, knows what we have need of before we ask. And yet we ask to bring our focus to the fulfillment of that need. We no longer focus on lack and imperfect health. Instead, we focus on thanks and the blessing of fulfillment of the health that is our divine right. And freely and joyfully we express that health now. The Natural Healing Agency of God has done and is doing its work through each of us. And for this we give thanks. We let it be so, and so it is. Our scripture today is the Beatitudes, which is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. This is Matthew 5. Verses 1 to 12, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. On first glance, It looks like this is not a very metaphysical passage. Why do we want to be like this? It's crazy! It's bad stuff! We don't want to be poor in spirit. We don't want to have to mourn anything. What do we want? We want goodness and, you know, Christ-mindedness. But it is because we want this Christ-mindedness and we want to embody that and make that manifest that we are looking at this passage. This was Christ's attitude. Christ was poor in spirit, if you will. He was meek. He was all these things. He was a peacemaker. But you see, some of these things we don't like the way they look. And we're going to cover that. What does it mean, for example, to be poor in spirit? Well, I thought when I was preparing this, and I always enjoyed this passage, even though as a child and a younger adult, I never understood it. But I took comfort in it somehow. And only now do I understand why. To be poor in spirit means not to be prideful in an egotistical kind of sense. So in that respect, we can go along with that in metaphysics, can't we? We don't want to be egotistical. We don't want to be all, hey, look at me, I am the superhuman, what have you. No, it is the ego that we are sublimating that is going, that is moving upward and connecting itself to God presence within us. So to be poor in spirit is to be poor in egotisticalness, egotism. Why? What do we get for this? These verses, there is something, and there is a result. What are we? And if we are that way, what do we get? Well, now, in this verse 3, this is, we are poor in spirit, we are poor in an ego sense, and what do we get? Ours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's good, right? We want that. We want the kingdom of heaven. Ours is the kingdom of heaven. And we know that the kingdom of heaven is within us. Christ told us that. So when we sublimate the ego and become poor in spirit, ours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. To me, this speaks of ebb and flow. If we are mourning, we presumably have lost something, or we think we have. That's okay. It's okay to feel a sense of loss. It's okay to mourn. But what happens? Do we stay there forever? If it is our ego guiding us, we can stay there for a very long time. But if it's not, they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. When we grieve, when we mourn, that's good. It's a natural thing to grieve. And it's a natural thing to be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. To be meek means to be kindly disposed. Are you kind? Do you feel kind toward others? Because if you do, you're going to inherit the earth. It brings back to mind the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He's saying it again here. Are you meek? Yes, then you're going to inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Again, If it goes on for a long time, we don't like to feel hungry and thirsty for anything, physically or mentally or emotionally or spiritually. But some of us searched for a long time before we found our spiritual home, which is a place where we are safe, but also a place where we can grow. So as we hunger and thirst for righteousness, or right mind, right heart, right thinking, we shall be filled. Do we hunger? Do we thirst? We shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I read a book called Idioms in the Bible. Not a metaphysical text, but it was based on the original Aramaic of the New Testament, which was Jesus' language. And it said that pure in heart means pure in mind. I agreed with that. And it was funny when I looked at the book, because I had already kind of figured what I was going to say about these verses. And the book was going, it was like nodding its head. And it was saying the same thing. So that was interesting to me. That was an affirmation that we're going in the right direction here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When we are pure in mind, in our conscious mind, yes, and also in our subconscious mind, where we keep all the gooey stuff, and our memories, and our subconscious patterns, and the things that make us do what we do. When we are pure in all these aspects of our mind, we shall see God. And the good news is we don't have to wait till the after-death place of heaven, as some people think that we do, to see God. We can see God now. We can see God now in the quiet of meditation. We can see God in all things. And indeed, if we do any striving, that is what we strive to do, is to see God in all things. But in order to do that, we must keep ourselves pure in heart, pure in mind, in all parts of our mind, not just the parts that people see, not just the conscious mind, which tells us, now you say thank you for this because somebody just gave you something. Not just the surface mind, but the entire mind, because our mind is an individualized expression, just like our body is, of God mind. So God mind is pure. How can we, therefore, not be pure? Well, it's pretty easy not to be. All we have to do is let the ego take over. And then we won't be pure in mind anymore. We won't be pure in heart. But again, we don't have to stay there. The good news, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. We don't have to stay there. We can choose to be pure in heart. But it's not a decision that we make and then we forget about. It's something that must be nourished and nurtured and cultivated and grown. It must be looked after like a little child, because that's what it is. It's growing. It's a growing thing. And we don't generally leave the things that we want to grow and to prosper. We don't leave them to their own devices to do that. We help them out. We look after them. We take whatever action needs to be taken to see that they do prosper. And the same goes for our mind and our hearts. We look after them. We keep them in a right place. And when they stray, we don't beat ourselves up about it, but we turn them gently and lovingly back to the God mind. How do we do this? We do this because, and by the power of, the God mind within us. That's why meditation is so important, even in Western metaphysics, is because we meditate first for oneness with the God mind. And then to positively reprogram all aspects and all levels of our mind and being. We may use affirmations for that, positive statements. We can use many things, and the tools themselves don't matter. But the result does, and that result is the connection that you feel, that you experience with the God mind within you. Your experience and mine will not be the same, but they will be what they need to be for our soul and our own connection with that God presence. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. That's pretty self-explanatory. Sons of God, children of God. If we are peacemakers, if we make peace with others, yes, but above all within ourselves. Do we make peace within ourselves? As I was just saying, do we create a harmony between all levels of our mind and existence? If we do, we are children of God. We are becoming Christed. And really, our being itself, the essence of our being, is already Christed. Christ is our true nature. What we're doing is lifting the personal consciousness to that Christ nature. And then we are peacemakers. We are children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blah. That's what we say. Blah. We don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to be, and we don't want to focus on the idea that we could be. And yet, we all know that some people, be they our friends, our family members, people who don't even know us, but figure out somehow what we do, or what we believe and what we appear to be, people will say to us, nope, you should do it this way. My religion is the only religion. How many times have you heard that? That's persecution. I'll tell you right now, it is. But how do we let it affect us? Do we fight against it? Because if we do, we're going to get more of it. Or do we know in our hearts that ours is the kingdom of heaven? And therefore, we need to let the God mind guide us as to how we respond to people who see fit tell us that metaphysics is wrong, or that your profession is wrong, or you don't raise your children the right way. Oh, believe me, you know and I know that people can always find something to pick on us about. Hopefully, we're not reciprocating. But the God mind must be invoked from within us to respond to these people. Sometimes it will be no response at all. We'll just walk away. And in walking away, how do we walk away? If we're walking away angry, that's the ego. But if we're walking away blessing, that is God mind. That's how you know what is guiding you. And if the ego is guiding you, okay, you can choose to keep it that way, or you can choose to change it. You can choose to allow the God mind to guide you, to guide your lips in your communications with these people when you have to communicate with them. And otherwise, the God mind will keep you quiet. And the God mind will not just shut your mouth and keep your mouth quiet, although it will do that too. What it will really do is keep you peaceful inside. And that's really all anybody wants, is peace. So when we are persecuted for righteousness' sake, we are blessed, and ours is the kingdom of heaven. That's really profound. And I invite you, then, when we go into meditation, to think about that. And the passage continues. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. And we'll stop there temporarily. This is more persecution. He's drumming home the point that we are blessed even when we are persecuted, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. We are blessed in this because we are not alone. The God mind travels with us and lights our path, and we're never alone. And he continues, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. In heaven, the kingdom of heaven within us. Great is our reward. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. They've done this before. Christ is telling us they've done this before. And they may continue to do it to you. But don't worry about it. In fact, rejoice, for great is your reward in heaven. Not your reward from the ego, because that's never a reward. But your reward in the kingdom of heaven within you is great. Now. It's great now. You don't have to wait for it. As soon as we shift to this Christed attitude, that our attitude is to be, that is when we see our reward. And I didn't mention this before, but I found this interesting. These first couple of verses, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain. This is Jesus we're talking about. Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them. That's verses 1 and 2. Our interpretation of this is there was a big old crowd of people, and Jesus saw them, and he went away from them. He went up on a mountain. The first thing that came to me when I read this was, he went to meditate. And we don't know for certain that he did, but we don't know that he didn't either. So let's say he saw this big crowd of people, he went to meditate, and then he came back. And when he was seated, when he was back at the crowd of people, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth. The same idioms book I talked about earlier, it said, he broke the silence. He opened his mouth. He broke his silence of meditation. And he taught them. I believe also that that's why some of these verses, at first glance, they seem like things that we wouldn't want to be. We don't want to be poor in spirit, from what that sounds like. But when you really know and understand, not just intellectually, but spiritually, what that means, you find out that being poor in spirit isn't so bad after all. And mourning is not bad, and being meek is not bad, and being persecuted, while it may not be fun, is not bad. So let us now go into meditation and integrate these truths into our consciousness so that we may become ever more Christ-minded and Christ-conscious. And so I ask you, if you would, to close your eyes and sit in your chair with your feet flat on the floor or your ankles crossed, whichever is most comfortable for you. We turn away now from the outer world for a few moments to enter into the inner world of our own mind, our soul, and our spirit. This is where the God presence lives. This is Christ consciousness. And we bring our focus to this Christ consciousness now. We allow these beatitudes, these blessings of the Christ mind that was in Jesus, to be our own. And we unite our personal mind and consciousness, which are individualized expressions of God, good expressions. We unite them with this Christ consciousness and Christ mind. And as Jesus did, we proclaim, the Father and I are one. As Jesus did, we also take time to spend time with that presence of the Father within us. We allow ultimate truth and reality to come forth through us into our personal mind and into our body, our physical body, and our body of affairs and circumstances and conditions that are outside us, the environment in which we live, and all those people and things that we come in contact with. To all these things, we show, we demonstrate the blessings of the Christed mind, the Christed attitude. And for this attitude and its manifestation through each of us, we give thanks. We let it be so by the God power and the Christed mind within us. And so it is. If you would now join me in our affirmation. I bless God as supreme creator, and I bless each creation as an expression of God. My attitude of blessing is made and maintained by God. I bless others by the power of God working through me. For each blessing given and received in and through my attitude, I give thanks. And so it is.